moment. It's the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour. Yeah, we're doing a podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group's Bills Wire. It's the bye week special. The Buffalo Bills did not win or lose this week because they didn't play a football game. They remain 4-1, and some other results went in their favor. The Browns lost. That's pretty much the only one I can think of off the top of my head. But we're not going to talk about those because we have bigger fish to fry here today. We're going to talk about, like, actually fried food because I went to a new chicken wing spot. And, guys, I don't want to overhype this, but if you follow me on Twitter, you saw just how much this place affected me in a positive way. And then, as we teased last week, as McKenna brought to the forefront, brought to the table, Bill's Wall of Fame episode, we're going to go through the best players and the most influential people to not only the Bills, but to Buffalo over the past 20 years and determine whether or not they deserve a spot on the prestigious and famed Bills Wall of Fame. So joining me to discuss these wonderful topics today, first, it's Rich Kowalski. Rich, how are you?
It's good. Good to be back, hanging out with my cat. Got this new toy called a newspaper. Very free and cheap. It's great. But yeah, Bills didn't lose. Bills didn't win. But got a little help, but it'll be fun. Let's talk about some of these Wall of Fame people. It's going to be real interesting. We got a lot of interesting choices.
A lot of interesting choices. Do you know a lot of people have played for the Bills over the past 20 years?
Too many.
A lot of people have come and gone. Roughly 53 a year. Well, more than that. I'm not off to a hot start here.
You're not a math teacher. It's okay.
No, I'm not. I've established that many a times on this show. But he is a math teacher. It's McKenna Middlebrook. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am not a math teacher at all. I'm terrible at math. But yeah, I think the bye week was probably the best offensive performance we've seen from the Bills all season. Hey! the takes
ayo. Early. Yeah, ayo. That was a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting week for football. The Titans losing, I guess, helped the Bills out a little bit. They always seem to be in the wild card mix. And the Titans just look terrible.
I feel like every team the Bills have played this year and have beaten, they've just kind of self-destructed afterwards. Mm. Yeah. Just like yesterday, Mariota gets benched for Ryan Tannehill, it's something else.
It says something when Ryan Tannehill is the better option.
I mean, the Bengals were bad before. Giants, they benched Eli after that. But Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. This is a tangent. I love this show. I love tangents. But I think, like, Daniel Jones is kind of like a carbon copy of Josh Allen in terms of people are like, oh, he was that college production. That's, you know, he didn't have enough college production. He was drafted way too high. And then he plays and people are like, oh, he's actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you want an idea of how Josh Allen would be perceived by the national media if he played in a bigger market, if he played in a New York, just look at Daniel Jones. Just people have, you know, looked at him and said, okay, he's got the tools. He's going to be good. But it's weird. It's really weird that there was almost this, like, mirroring narrative surrounding them. But still, people look around, and I think if you asked like a large portion of just fans around the league who has the higher ceiling, Daniel Jones or Josh Allen, they'd probably say Daniel Jones, just because New York gets a lot more media coverage than Buffalo does. And Daniel Jones has been getting, I've seen a lot of positive things about Daniel Jones just watching NFL Network and various podcasts and whatever. So yeah, anything to add here about the Bills bye week? Oh, we do have to talk about something. We have to talk about Zay Jones.
He gone.
After we
talked about it.
We have a lot of power here. We could say anyone will be gone, and next thing you know, that day they'll be gone.
Yeah, before we even upload the podcast.
Who's next?
We uploaded, or we recorded last week's podcast on Monday at like 3 or 4. And I think we all agreed in that podcast there was a realistic chance that Zay Jones would not be back when the Bills returned from the bye week. That night, they traded Zay Jones to the Oakland Raiders for a fifth-round pick.
In 2021.
A 2021 fifth-round pick. They essentially gave him away. But I'll go to you guys in a second here, but I think we pretty much shared our opinions on that podcast. He just didn't have a spot here anymore. Just character-wise, locker room-wise, and if you give him the opportunity, perhaps on the field-wise, he's a good player to have, but just given Buffalo's receiving core, there really wasn't a need for Zay Jones. And my friend texted me after the trade, and he said, how do you feel about dumping Zay Jones for a fifth-round pick? And I was like, he didn't offer anything to this team. And he's like, well, he offered something. And I was like, he's had the opportunity to offer something for 3 years now, and he's yeah. offered nothing besides dropped passes. So I'll go to you, Rich. Anything to add about Zay Jones? Probably the last time we'll ever discuss Zay Jones on this podcast. I know
time.
It's upsetting.
Well, I'm not going to miss his father tweeting. That's something I definitely won't miss. But it's good for him to get a fresh start somewhere. I'm happy for him in that aspect. I'm sure he's not in a great mental place right now playing football. But getting that change of scenery, albeit with John Gruden and a circus, is going to be interesting. But he'll fit right in.
Is he going to replace Antonio Brown? Is that what's going on over there? They're going to try to get Antonio Brown's production out of
Zay
Jones? He's
going to start getting really highly produced videos and posting them on YouTube saying he's free.
Maybe. Could you imagine if Zay Jones ever posts something like that?
I mean, he does have a real big football hubris, so that may happen, but I don't think he's that type of character, thankfully.
No, he's not. His dad is more so. I mean, his dad retweeted a tweet from someone who said, oh, Zay finally has a real quarterback. And I was like, Zay Jones played with two different quarterbacks here. Both of them okay. Sucked both times.
And Derek Carr, if you're gonna really, like, I get it, it's Josh Allen, but Derek Carr, you're gonna retweet that. Like, come on.
He goes to Derek Carr, and you're like, yeah. Like, Derek Carr is good. Is Derek Carr, good?
Derek Carr is Josh Allen if he went to Fresno. He wanted to. I remember when Josh Allen was coming out of high school, I was reading that he really wanted to go to Fresno.
Yeah, that was his dream school.
He met Derek Carr, and now Zay Jones gets to meet Josh Allen's hero. Mm-hmm. I wonder what he'll think about it.
McKenna, anything to add about Zay?
No, not really. We kind of discussed it all last week, how just missed potential, I think. I still think he has the ability to be a productive wide receiver, but the way the Bills want to play ever since he's been here hasn't really fit his style. And I honestly see him doing better with the Rams, I think. The way that offense is set, I think, suits his style a little more. But going to Oakland, he has a past of having some mental issues, and mm-hmm. He'll fit right in. Let's just say that.
Jeez.
Let's just say that.
Well, yeah, I hope he figures it out. I hope he has a long and productive career because like we've said, he's a good guy. He's a good, got a good head on his shoulders. Hopefully he figures it all out. And I've seen people saying that this was just a miss by Sean McDermott because that was his first draft. That was, it's widely believed that he was the one who was kind of calling the shots in that draft before Doug Whaley and the entire scouting staff were fired 2 days later. So it's widely believed that Sean McDermott was running that draft and kind of drafting based off of Carolina's scouting that year. Right. But then I've seen people saying that's just a total miss because guys like Cooper Kupp, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Curtis Samuel went after Zay Jones. And, okay, yes, hindsight's 2020. But if you remember back then, 2017, there was so much hype surrounding Zay Jones. This was the FBS's all-time leader in receptions, just a sure-handed guy who you could, and he caught a lot of screen passes, so he was, it was thought to be that he would be a dynamic weapon in any offense, just somebody who could, a sure-handed receiver who you can use in a variety of ways. There were a lot of rumors that Buffalo was going to use him as a slot receiver, just sure-handed guy who Tyrod could get the ball to, but that year, he just wasn't good that year. He showed a bit of promise this year, or last year in 2018. But I don't think you can look at that and say, oh, that's just a swing and a miss by Sean McDermott, because then everyone had it wrong. All analysts had it wrong, because Zay Jones going into day two of that 2017 draft was widely looked at as the best receiver available, and the Bills were aggressive, went up and got him. It just didn't pan out, but I don't think you can blame Sean McDermott for that, because everyone had it wrong. He wasn't the only one who had Zay Jones higher than Cooper Kupp, Juju, and Curtis Samuel. So
I think the only one you could really make an argument for is Juju, because he went to USC, a big school, and he showed a lot of potential at USC. So that's the one you could really be like, oh, like, you really missed on that one due to the school that Juju went to. Because I just looked up, Cooper Kupp went to like Eastern Washington University, you know, not a big school. I don't even know where Curtis Samuel went to school. Again, probably a small school where...
Yeah, I don't think he went to a big school.
Let's look it up. Curtis Samuel.
Here we go.
He's from Brooklyn, New York. That's great.
Ooh.
No?
Stand up.
He went to Ohio State. Never mind.
Oh. Well, that just shows how much we know here on this podcast. Yeah. Great football intellect that you don't get anywhere else here on the Kyle Slagg Variety Hour.
It's a lot of goodness.
Yeah, I think that sums it up here on Zay Jones talk. But like you said earlier, Rich, we have a lot of power here. We can kind of determine what the Bills do. So this podcast goes out on Tuesday morning. We're recording this on Monday morning. It's like noon Eastern. So let's say what the Bills are going to do tonight. I'm going to say they're going to swing a trade for AJ Green. They're going to deal a second and a fifth for AJ Green, and then when this podcast comes out tomorrow, AJ Green will be a Buffalo Bill. You heard it here first. So, guys, what do you think of the trade?
I think that's obviously going to happen now, since you have predicted it. My prediction is that the Bills will trade for Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, that'd be big.
That would be huge. They'll probably a similar-ish trade, a second rounder, maybe a third, and Robert Foster. Throw it in, you know. Gardner Minshew needs all the help he can get.
Right,
that's
so
my
Robert
prediction.
Foster, yeah.
my prediction is definitely going to be a fan favorite. It's that Hofbräu House opens and asks us to be the sponsor of, you know, have them be the official sponsor of our podcast.
I tried to make it happen this week, guys. I tweeted at them.
I don't think
them.
That's a very active Twitter, though.
It's not at all. They haven't been active since, like, May or something.
Probably must have hired a new marketing company.
They just forgot the password and handed it over. But I tweeted at them. I said, let's talk business. And you guys, I want to thank you guys. You hyped me up in the comments. You were like, hey, thanks for letting me borrow your car. Thanks for bailing me out of jail, etc. You know, you guys
were teaching me about the birds and the bees.
Exactly. You guys were really hyping me up, but no dice thus far.
Yeah.
So hopefully they log on one day and they see seven notifications, all of which are me getting hyped up in their notifications. They're like, hey, he'd be a good sponsoree. He'd be a good guy to have on our side. So
well,
hopefully
he has character references, so he is
that's
good.
True.
Exactly. But I think I'm going to talk about a different Buffalo restaurant here. So, guys, a few months ago, my sister came home from work and said that two people, independent of one another, told her that they got wings from a place called Wing Nuts. Ooh. Wing Nuts. Ridiculous name. With a Z. Just a ridiculous name. And I was like, what?
Not a good start.
I've never heard of this place. What are you talking about? So I look it up. This is a place that's in a Knights of Columbus Hall on Kenmore Avenue in Buffalo. By the, it's like off of Elmwood, by the News 4 station or whatever you want to call it. So I was like, oh, wow, maybe if I'm ever in that neck of the woods for some reason, maybe I get lost. I'll check out Wing Nuts. I'll see what they have to offer. Mm-hmm. Completely forgot about it. So then 2 days ago, I'm checking out Buffalo Rising, my daily visit to Buffalo Rising, to see what's going on in Buffalo, New York. And they posted a review of Wing Nuts.
Wow.
And the headline was, "The hype is real." And I was like, that settles it. Sold. I'm going to Wing Nuts. So then yesterday, I gathered the whole fam. We go down to Kenmore Ave. We pull into this Knights of Columbus Hall, and we are just like, wow. My whole family's just kind of like, what did you get us into? Why are we at a Knights of Columbus Hall? And I'm just like, this is incredible. I'm already sold. on whatever this is. This is great. Mm-hmm. So we walk into this, whatever this place is. You walk in through the main entrance, and it's just a little room off to the side. No bigger than, like, a waiting room at a doctor's office. Or at, like, emergency care. That's all this is. You walk in, and there's a desk, and then there's, like, three or four big circular tables on each side. So, like, probably could seat around 50 people total mm-hmm. in this restaurant, if that's what you want to call it. So I walk in there, and then another group walks in with us. This guy walks out from the back, looks at us, and just says, "Whoa." Like, he's immediately overwhelmed. And then he's like...
He's like, "This is a fire code violation. There's six people in here."
This whole story is ridiculous. So then he's like, "All right, guys, are you guys picking up or are you eating here?" And we're all like, "We're eating. We want to eat here." And he's like, "Okay, well, you're going to have to give me a minute here because, you know, I'm making wings back there. And if you're here for roast beef, there's no beef on Sundays. Never beef on Sundays." And we're just like, "Okay, we're here for wings. I don't care about beef." Sir. Yeah. And he's like, "Okay, you can grab a few menus, have a seat. I'll be with you in a minute." So then my family sits down at this big wooden round table. We're like the Knights of the Round Table, looking at these wings. We decide what we want. So then this guy comes out, sits down at our table. And it's like,
"Did he turn the chair around?"
No, unfortunately. But he sat down right next to me. And he's like, "My name's Ed. Do you know what we're about here at Wing Nuts?" And we're like, "No, we've never been to Wing Nuts."
Jeez.
And he's like...
Sounds like a drug deal.
Oh, it was... This is so good. It's so... This story, just this whole vibe of this place. Mm. And he's like, "All right, here's the thing. We make our own sauce. You can't get Wing Nuts sauce anywhere else besides Wing Nuts. You gotta go to Wing Nuts for Wing Nuts sauce."
So, this is just...
Yes, he's like, we make everything here. God. We have the Buffalo Variations, which is just Frank's hot sauce with butter. Yeah. But if you want Wing Nuts sauce, you have to get it at Wing Nuts. And we're like, "Okay, we'll get it at Wing Nuts then." So then we order, and then he's like, he gets up and he's starting to walk away. And then I'm like, "I heard these were the best wings in town." And he's like, "You can tell me that after." And I was like, this guy is so confident. Wow. Ed is so confident. So swagger. Then it takes an hour to get the wing because it's just okay. It's just him and his wife in the back. It's just him and his wife in the back making these wings for however many people come in and out of that place. And at one point, I hear him scream from the back, "Are you still dropping wings?" And I was like,
"Oh my gosh,
this is the best place ever."
The atmosphere.
We went upstairs to this bowling alley they have in this Knights of Columbus Hall. What? Got a few beers. $9 for three beers. And I was like, I am in heaven right now. This is the best place I've ever been to.
I take it you've never been to Knights of Columbus.
Never.
Oh,
not Knights of Columbus. Once.
It's the equivalent of like a VFW post.
That's all
for
it is, yeah.
Like, Roman Catholic Knights of Columbus, you know. They have events there. They sell beer. It's a good deal.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, we go back down. Wings eventually arrive, and they are humongous. I kid you not. They are just huge, very saucy.
I'm on your Twitter right now. And
are you looking at the wings?
They are massive.
They're
like
are
a size of like a couple fingers.
Like,
oh my gosh.
They kind of look like fried chicken, to be honest with you.
They do.
There's like, I don't want to say there's breading on them, but there's definitely something. Could be cornstarch, could be flour. There's definitely some sort of breading on them to give them some crisp. Mm. But they're huge, they're crispy, they're saucy, and the Wing Nut sauce, I mean, it's delicious. It's worth going to Wing Nuts for the Wing Nut sauce. And we did a wing power ranking episode a few months ago. I said Duff's was number one. This Wing Nuts rivals. Wing Nuts is up there. It may be number one. And then Ed comes over afterwards. He's talking to us, and he's like, "So how was it?" And I was like, "Ed, these live up to the hype." And he was like, "Well, that's Wing Nuts." And I was like, "I don't want you to say anything else there, Ed. You had the perfect response. That's exactly what I wanted to hear." So, Wing Nuts, guys. If you're ever in town, if you're ever in Buffalo and find yourself around the Knights of Columbus Hall on Kenmore Ave, gotta make a stop at Wingnuts. Yeah. It's easy to look at it and be like, what the hell is this? Why is this wing? Why is this room in a Knights of Columbus Hall serving the best wings in Buffalo, New York? I don't understand it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, it's something else. It's an experience is what it is.
I mean, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, there's like some of the best places I've been for food or drinks have been the ones where you look at the outside and you're like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even 9/11 Tavern, which is like such a best kept secret in South Buffalo. You look at the outside, you're like, this place is like the best for wings. What?
Yeah.
And you go inside and it's just amazing. I love those dive places. Those are consistently some of the best. I mean, was it? It was probably cash only too, huh?
Oh no, they had.
Wow.
I don't know.
Did he have a square? He had a square for his phone.
I honestly, yes, Denise! I think he had a square. Yeah. Her name was Alicia.
Alicia.
On the front of their menu, it said Alicia and Ed. I can't.
Proprietors.
Thank you. I can't say the word proprietors. I was like, oh my god, this is the best place I've ever been to. And it's the type of place, the longer you stay there, just the more at home you feel. Mm-hmm. Because I know when I walked in there, I just had this look on my face, just like, where am I? What hell have I got here?
What
then,
is this?
As I've sat there for 45 minutes, I'm seeing people walk in having the same look on their faces. And I'm just like, yeah, I was you once, but now I get it. I'm in tune with this place. I get the vibe. And I love it.
I love the cups, too, the solo cups.
Oh, it was...
It really ties it all together.
It ties it all together.
They give you... Were they just, like, a bunch of wet naps, too? Or were
yep, just a... Yep. Yeah. One per person. They just gave... Yeah.
Ed charges one, extra.
One wet nap per person.
You don't need more than one.
Yeah, you don't need more than one. And there's a smelly bathroom across the hall.
Oh, beautiful.
It's just the fact that this place exists. The fact that this place exists. It's nothing fancy. Oh, I forgot the best part. Ooh. So my whole family's there. We have six people. And we ordered too many wings. We ordered a bucket. And then we got wings to try. We got 10 garlic and 10. I had 10 hot. So we still have like more than half the wings remaining, but Ed gave us a deal for no reason other than Ed's a great guy. 70 wings for $50.
Wow.
So if you
that's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
That's
so
nearly 50 cent wings.
Nearly. So and again, it's just because Ed's a great guy. Ed gave us a deal. So if you're ever at Wingnuts, you know, tell Ed his wings are good. Tell him, I mean, he doesn't know who I am, but,
We should get Ed on the pod.
If we get Ed on the pod...
Can Wingnuts be the official sponsor of...
I don't know if he wants that publicity.
Oh, I don't think he does. That's I think true. He just wants
and
to be
I think
be
that's
a...
why he could totally be on our podcast. Zing.
No, it's true. It's true. This podcast is going to give Wingnuts no business.
It's like, your podcast reminds me of my business.
Thanks, Ed.
Rough on the outside, but pretty good once you get in.
Yeah, once you actually listen to it.
Just don't go to the bathroom.
Once you're there for 45 minutes, it sort of feels like home.
Very true.
Can we get, we would have to get Alicia, too, then.
Oh, yeah.
We would have
to
get...
We need both of them. It can't just be... They're wing nuts, not just wing or nuts.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
And... Yeah, which one's a wing, which one's nuts?
I'll let you decide.
I heard her answer the phone, and it was like the voice of an angel.
Hello?
Like, yeah, her voice was just like, wow, she should be a voice actress.
Really?
If I'm ordering wings, and what the first thing I hear is that voice, I'm like, that's my new wing soul. Yeah. And I had said that at a few points. I was just like, this is, even if the wings are just average, this place is still incredible. But no, the wings were very, very good. Felt like home.
What were the offerings for pop? Did it come in like a 2-liter bottle? Was it like...
Pitcher. Came in a
pitcher. Yep. Definitely from the bar.
Yep, you got a pitcher
sure.
of pop.
Was it RC Cola?
I don't know. I had water and a Labatt Blue.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good combos.
My dad was like, why are you getting Labatt Blue? You hate Labatt. And then I was like, well, it's
about the atmosphere.
I'm here. Yeah. What else am I going to drink here?
If you don't, it's almost disrespectful.
Yeah, I was like, I'm in downtown Buffalo. What else am I going to drink? And he's like, well, this is more of like a Jenny place, if anything. And I was like, yeah, and what's Buffalo's answer to Jenny, Dad? Labatt.
Labatt.
Dad.
Dad. How do you not know this, Dad?
What a narc.
But so yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know how many times I'm gonna say this, but Wingnuts is just something else. And it's the type of place that, like, you think of the name Wingnuts beforehand, and you're like, that's the stupidest name I've ever heard. Why would you ever name your
business
with the Wingnuts?
Z, right.
Yeah, the Z. Wingnuts. And then you go there, and you're like, I don't want it to be named anything else. I can't think of a better name for Wingnuts. And, like, part of me is like, I want one of the 50 budding young restaurateurs in Buffalo to get a hold of this, buy it. You know, buy the wing recipe, the sauce recipe that you can only get at Wingnuts, and just make it like a local chain to rival Duff's. Make it, you know, because these wings deserve to be eaten by everyone.
Keep
but
it
then,
small.
But yeah, but also, I don't want that vibe to be lost. I don't want that charm to be lost. So, hey guys, if I'm ever a millionaire, if this podcast ever gets more than 500 listeners a week, if I'm ever a millionaire, I will buy it and I'll keep the charm. So Wingnuts.
Not for sale.
That's the exact answer I'd get. Not for sale.
That's what I'd expect Ed to say. He's like, well, son, we're not for sale.
And I would say, I want to be business partners, Ed.
You'd be like, nah, Ed.
We'll see.
I'll give you $1 million.
I can't change the name. You know, I'm Wing. My wife is nuts. So.
Hey-o. The old ball and chain.
Yeah. You know what
the
I mean.
Old round and flat, if you know what I mean.
All right, so.
What is going on? Is this a fever dream right now?
Yeah, we've lost it. We're a half an hour deep, and we've done we have done some Bills talk, but majority Wingnuts talk.
Zay Jones is even not on the Bills anymore, but
still. And he's not making it on the Wall of Fame. Or transition. Here's the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame talk. My dog's barking. This is what got everyone into this episode. It wasn't Wingnuts. It was Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame talk.
Like,
there are currently
talk about it.
We're gonna have a bit of a variety discussion about
true
it. That didn't work. It's a true variety. Yeah, finally, the podcast is living up to its name. So there are currently 31 players who
and
the Buffalo Bills and a 12th man who the Buffalo Bills have deemed worthy and prestigious enough to have their name on the wall of New Era Field.
And coaches and management.
Yeah.
Right, just 31.
And
just
Dan Miller.
And the announcer.
Their names, and O.J. Simpson. Their names wrap around the stadium.
Hey-o.
And so, you know, the Buffalo Bills, they might get a new stadium soon, maybe. Or they're going to do renovations to this one. So, maybe they'll clear up some space for more people to be added to the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame, which is what we are going to discuss today. Here on this podcast. So each of us have established a list of players who maybe just in general, who should maybe be on the Wall of Fame, and that's what we're going to discuss today. But before we get into this discussion, we have to establish something very important. What does it mean to be a Buffalo Bills Wall of Famer? How does one become a Wall of Famer? Is it through play? Is it through tenure? Is it through dedication to the community? What are we looking at here?
Well, the Buffalo Bills have established this for us already.
Oh, have they?
So, on the Buffalo Bills website, there's this nice little paragraph. The Bills Wall of Fame was created in 1980 to honor former players, administrators, and coaches who have played significant roles in the team's history. And essentially, if you're a player, you've had to play in Buffalo for 3 years and be retired. And that's really it. And selections are made by a distinguished panel composed of club personnel and media members. So if you're a player, you've had to play for 3 years and be retired. But if you're a coach, administrator, or anyone else, you've just had to be around.
Right. Just have your nose in here a little bit.
I'm
going to
have a hot take right here. Mm-hmm. Speak about media members. I don't think any current media member or recently in the past would be... Sorry, there's a garbage truck outside my window emptying a dumpster currently. So it's nice. Beautiful day out here in Portland. I don't think there are any current media members or announcers or anything that would be eligible or like would have really had
good
a
enough
career to be on
the
Bills Wall of Fame.
Don't think John Murphy isn't
I don't Murphy's think so. A lock. I think the fans would revolt.
He's a lock.
I have him on my list, like, as a sincere pick. I have him on my list because I like for
maybe just for longevity.
Yeah, I think that's
longevity.
Part of it. Like
he left Channel 4 to be with the Bills, you know, or wherever he was. I don't know. I was young.
And like for myself,
his takes have made it hard.
Like he is like the recognizable voice for the Bills, you know, like and
yeah. Currently,
you know, currently, and I think he'll be around for a while. So,
yeah,
he's actual sincerity. I put him on.
I'd say he's the only one that has a chance.
Yeah, I agree.
Why not Rodak?
Oh my, the fans would literally.
Why not Sal Capaccio?
Yeah, Sal Capaccio.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Why not Chris Brown? Not rapper. Bill's insider, Chris Brown.
Not the guy that I won't never know.
Why not Nate Mendelsohn?
I think the Bills wire can make it on the Wall of Fame someday.
Eventually.
Like, I think maybe. Like hundreds of years into the future we'll be on there.
We have Photoshop. We could make that happen.
Oh, we
could make it happen already. Alright, so let's get actually serious into this as my dog is barking in the background here. Mm. So yeah, just As McKenna said, to be a Bills Wall of Famer, if you're a player, personnel member, executive, media, whatever you are, you just have had to have made an impact for the Bills and for the fan base and community itself. So, yeah, like I said earlier, we've each established a list. Some picks serious, some picks not so serious. So I'll start here. I'll throw a name out there. You guys tell me whether or not this man deserves to be on the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame. Drew Bledsoe.
No.
Ooh. No.
No.
Why?
Did he make a significant impact? I mean, like, and he had
Drew Bledsoe made me fall in love with football.
Oh, that's true.
Isn't he also a Hall of Famer for the Patriots, though, still?
Well, that's my number one reason, Rich, is I saw him at the beginning of this season on the field at Gillette, and I was like, no, we have to bring him back. We have to make him our alumnus.
Again, we need to bring him to Buffalo.
Exactly. He can't be affiliating with the Patriots. He has to be a Buffalo guy through and through.
He's not a Buffalo guy.
That's how we do
through
it here.
Through, so that's
he's
a
an Ellensburg, Washington guy through and through. That's where
he does own a winery up there or something.
Yeah.
And they had him on One Bills Live.
You know what high school he went to?
Where?
Walla Walla High School.
Walla Walla, Washington.
I will say, side note, Walla Walla onion rings. They are apparently, and I've had them before, they are incredible.
So they are good, or
I guess they have really
good.
They're
not apparently good.
No, yes, they are good. They have like they grow a lot of onions there, I guess. But they are fantastic.
Oh, cool. Yeah, onions, wine, they do it all.
But that does not mean that Drew Bledsoe deserves to be on the Wall of Fame, in my opinion.
Drew Bledsoe, he was on One Bills Live last year, I think, and he said, like, if the Bills make win the Super Bowl, I might even paint my face. And so, like, people responded just like, ooh, might even paint his face. What a crazy guy. What a guy. He might paint his face.
Man.
Just insane.
Also, Drew Bledsoe's not in the Hall of Fame. I take that back. He's on the Patriots Wall of Fame already.
They have a Wall of Fame?
I guess. Patriots.
What?
He's in the Patriots Hall of Fame, sorry.
No. Oh,
they have their own Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Oh, well, when you're a good team, you can do that.
You know, yeah, like, one day, maybe.
Yeah. One day, yeah. Yeah, when the Bills get a new stadium, they'll just turn this into they'll turn Ralph Wilson Stadium just into a Hall of Fame.
To a museum. You could pay for
it. Yeah, to a museum.
Very One Buffalo.
So I took Drew Bledsoe off the list. Either of you want to pitch a name here and we'll discuss?
Aaron Schobel.
Ooh,
Aaron Schobel was on my list.
Stats wise, he has 78 sacks, all with Buffalo. He played there for 8 years. And more importantly, he has sacked Tom Brady more than any other player in NFL history.
Wow.
Which
he also,
I think that's
10 sacks per year.
Yeah. Like he's,
which is pretty crazy.
He was like a very good player. And adding the Tom Brady factor, like every Buffalo fan loves that. So, he was like my first pick.
He intercepted Tom Brady, didn't he?
I think
he
ran
it for a touchdown. It was a Monday night. I think it was 2008.
He did.
Yeah.
Yep. I think there's part of me that's like, he wasn't, from what I remember, I could be wrong, I was young, but I don't think he was here for like a very long amount of
2001
time.
2001 to 2009.
He was here for a long time.
Yeah. I think he just ended it though after.
Yeah, didn't he retire young?
It wasn't like he, you know, he went and bounced around between like four different franchises after it. No, he, I think, he just ended his career.
Yeah, he was very impactful here.
Yeah,
I think he just retired.
He just retired. Yeah, he played every season with Buffalo, which is, you know,
yeah,
and during the worst era.
Oh yeah,
and he's a two-time Pro Bowler.
He had like five head coaches during that time.
Yeah.
Well, that's when the Bills were just like, hey, let's bring Marv Levy back. He can be the GM.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. And how many, again, I was very young when that happened. Same. How many people were like, that's a good idea?
I think half and half. I think some people were like, yeah, nostalgia. And then the other half were just like, what? No.
Yeah. What are you doing?
And then the other half was like, bring back Jim Kelly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was those were trying times for Bills fans.
Buffalo, a city built on nostalgia.
That's all it is. Aaron Schobel, yes? Are we
I'd say
all
yeah.
saying yes?
Yeah, 10 sacks per season averaging is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'd say that. And he only played every single game in Buffalo. I'd say that's good enough. That's a real blue-collar boy.
Yeah.
And looking at some of the names on the Bills Wall of Fame, again, I could just be turning in my Buffalo Bills you know, street cred card here. But there are people on the Wall of Fame that I've never heard of. Edward Abramowski.
Booker.
Ed, is that the same Ed from Wingnuts?
It is.
What if Ed Abramowski went and made Wingnuts? Could you imagine?
That'd be pretty nuts.
He deserves to be on the
Wall.
That
is a Polish name. That's a very Polish name.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, yes, Aaron Schobel on the Bills Wall of Fame. All right, Rich, you want to pitch a name here?
Yeah, I'll pitch a name. Eric Moulds.
He was top on my list.
On my list as well.
I mean, he's just so... He was, you know, he didn't have a great first 2 years, I remember.
Nope.
And really just unreal after that. Just made a pretty good impact on the team afterwards. The only thing is, it wasn't... I mean, how long was he even there, though? He wasn't... He was there a decent amount of time. I think it was like seven seasons mm-hmm. probably. But he went to Houston after that for a bit too. He's good though. He was probably the best receiver Buffalo has had since Andre Reed, I'd say.
Oh, absolutely.
96 to 2005.
And that's something. Hmm?
Eric Moulds was at Buffalo from 1996 to 2005.
Wow. Yeah, about 9-10 seasons.
Eric Moulds, I said earlier that Drew Bledsoe is the one who made me fall in love with football. I lied. It was actually Eric Moulds. Eric Moulds was my first favorite player ever. I had his jersey.
Ooh.
Imagine little, what, 5-6-year-old Kyle in an Eric Moulds jersey. I found that jersey like 10 years later. It didn't fit, unfortunately.
Surprising.
Yeah, looking
Where
at Eric
crop
Moulds.
Top?
I could, yeah. 10 years in Buffalo. 675 receptions, over 9,000 yards.
Mm.
Eric Moulds was electric. I loved Eric Moulds. And just for nostalgia purposes, I would want him on the Wall of Fame. And given what he's done, I don't think he did much here, but just what he did on the field, I think that's good enough to get on the Wall of Fame, especially in a time as trying as his era here, because the Bills weren't very good for the majority of his time here.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah. Absolutely, I think so. Yeah,
I agree.
Eric Moulds on the Wall of Fame. That's a good get, guys. Eric Moulds coming here. He's going to lead the charge while his name gets on the board. So before we get into, all right, let's for my pitch. I'm just going to get two, you know, guarantees out of the way, just so we can get into some of the more fun names. Kyle Williams, Eric Wood.
I think they're
both on the Wall of Fame. Absolutely.
I'd say Kyle Williams. I don't know about Eric Wood, though, honestly. I think he was a great player, and he made a significant impact. But as an offensive line, it's so hard to, you know, try to – like, you have to really do something extraordinary and be with the team for such a long time to really earn your spot on the Wall of Fame, I feel like, as an offensive lineman. Because, you know, you can't make as much of an impact as a skilled player in a couple of years. So it takes time, and he did leave early, and he did play his whole career for the team, which is good, but I think Kyle Williams is more deserving than Eric Woods, I'd say. But I don't know if – I honestly don't think Eric Woods should make the cut.
Kyle Williams, absolutely on the Wall of Fame, here for 13 years, again, so ingrained in the community. Mm-hmm. He was the face of the Buffalo Bills for a time, and you just look at what he did – when Sean McDermott came here, really became the connection between the coaching staff and the players, and helped. He's a major reason why the culture that people rave about today in Buffalo, he's a major reason why that culture's in place. So, and again, just on the field, he was very good. So Kyle Williams, I think, is a lock here to make the Wall of Fame. And Eric Wood, again, I agree with all the points you said, wasn't here too long. He was good, but he was an offensive lineman. But here's my argument. He's employed by the team right now.
He's just going to do the color commentating for the next 30 years and then earn his spot.
Exactly. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I
can see that definitely happening, honestly.
I could too.
He's a team employee. He's always around doing whatever. Mm. Are we good with Eric Wood on the list too?
I'll give it a maybe.
Or no? I'll write maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'll give a package deal for my next one. Brian Moorman, Ryan Lindell. Put them on together.
I'd say one of those.
One of them.
I'd say the punter.
Moorman. Okay.
He's invested in the area. He has Sear.
Right.
He has – no, he was just such an incredible punter for his whole time.
He has when the Bills' longest punt in Bills' history, 84 yards.
I just remember Sean Taylor laying him out at the Pro Bowl, though. That's probably one of my biggest memories, most memorable moments, is him getting just absolutely trucked at the Pro Bowl trying to run for a first down by Sean Taylor.
He's my hero.
Hit out of bounds. Absolutely. Yeah. But aside from that, his punting was just absolutely incredible, and he was – the best punter in Buffalo Bills history, no doubt. And I think he deserves to be on the wall. I don't know about Ryan Lindell. Ryan Lindell was there for a long time on the team. But I think he came from Seattle before them. Went to the Bucks after. He didn't really
He was on the Cowboys and the Seahawks before.
Yeah. I just don't think his career in Buffalo warrants a Wall of Fame presence.
I don't think either of them should be on the Wall of Fame, to be honest. I mean, neither of them played in a playoff game. Neither of them were really around for the good times. They were standouts because the team sucked. And it's like, we have a good punter. Have a good kicker.
That's true.
I don't know. I mean, I'll put Brian Moorman on if you guys want
I think Brian Moorman deserves it.
Like you said, Rich, he's really... Oh, I forgot about Fred Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, Fred Jackson's going on. He did so much. Like, he started, like, the culture of Buffalo as well. Like, you're talking about with Kyle Williams. They're very similar sort of. They're in that sort of mold where they're just work hard, you know, good players. So, yeah, Fred Jackson belongs on the wall, in my opinion. Mm.
Both own Sear and Fred Jackson, again, a team employee. So, he's on the list. And Brian Moorman, I would say because he was a stalwart here. Yeah. He was around forever and he was always reliable.
Can't deny that. Yeah. And can I wild out?
He threw
a
touchdown pass.
He did.
Yeah, wild out a little bit.
Marshawn Lynch.
I have him on my list.
He didn't.
He was incredible while he played.
He was incredible.
He was so and then he, good.
But the time he was here, though,
he meets the requirement.
And then they traded him for like a fourth round pick.
Third and a fourth, I think.
But again, this is the type that I would want to happen just because I want him back in Buffalo. I want him to lead the charge, and I want him to just do something dumb.
With a blunt in his mouth.
Why not?
Yeah, just do something really dumb.
Shaking his dreads, eating Skittles, hitting people with his car.
Dude, he would go and tailgate with Bill's Mafia. He would wild
absolutely.
Yeah.
I just want to watch that Kenny Mayne with Marshawn Lynch again, if you guys haven't seen it, where he goes to Applebee's with Kenny Mayne.
Oh, my God.
And then he goes to
I'm not sure
Dave
what
Buster's.
My favorite part of Applebee's is.
I love the ambiance.
Or the decor.
The rookie has spent most of his signing bonus on skee-ball, but says it's good for the Buffalo economy. My favorite part is when they're like, oh, you should know this one. It's Dance Dance Revolution. And she's like, it's Beethoven. And he's like, who was Beethoven?
Yeah.
He's my hero. I'll just take it back.
Oh, God. And I'm like, gosh, this guy is...
Marshawn Lynch is the best.
He's incredible. He was just like, TJ, who's your mama? He just had so... Yeah, he was like, they got me looking like a black Brett Favre. He had so many good, like, moments in Buffalo. But he was only there for 3 years. He put him on the Seahawks Wall of Fame, I'd say, or Ring of Honor, whatever they call it there. But I don't know if his time in Buffalo was long enough to really... make it on the Wall of Fame.
But for
I
Buffalo,
just want to see him lead the charge. I'm fine with that as a consolation.
I just want
prize.
Him back in Buffalo for a little bit because he's wonderful in every sense of the imagination.
I remember in high school there were I went to Orchard Park and there mm-hmm. was a rumor when Marshawn Lynch got drafted that that his brother Boo Boo was gonna play for Orchard Park, and I was like, oh man, Boo Boo's gonna play. And just remember the name. I think he ended
Boo-boo's
up going
gonna be in my social studies class.
Boo Boo. Yeah, he was. I remember he checked out our school for like a week, and he was a huge dude. And I'm like, this guy, he looked like a lineman almost. He was like really, he was like if Marshawn Lynch just had like no diet and just was mm-hmm. still a running back. And I was like, this guy is massive. And he ended up playing for, I think, Frontier or something. Probably with Nate Geary. I don't know. We could ask
probably
him
with
about
Nate Geary.
That. That's probably why he's so popular.
But my favorite Marshawn Lynch story, when I was a child, a young boy, I played roller hockey at Frank Young's Sports Arena, an Orchard Park staple.
Good spot.
And, good spot. And there was a story that Marshawn Lynch once walked in there, looked around, and said, I want to ice skate.
You know, I totally believe that.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it at Frank Young's.
I saw him driving around town a few times, and it was when he had that Porsche SUV that he subsequently hit with a lady, an Ontario woman, Ontarian, mm-hmm. on Chippewa. And drove off. Remember, I saw him one time driving that, and I understood why he hit someone, because his seat was reclined, like, the entire way. Like, in the back seat, pretty much. And I just saw his dreads sticking out from a hood. And just, like, I'm like, I think that's Marshawn Lynch. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, Marshawn Lynch hit and run on Chippewa in a Porsche SUV. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's why.
And Marshawn Lynch, I mean, he's Oakland through and through,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
But
B40.
Yeah,
he
and the Raiders are leaving, so maybe he needs a new team to kind of bring him in and say, "No, we love you. You can be our guy."
Yeah.
So that's why I think he deserves a spot on the Wall of Fame. He wasn't here that long, but
that's your plan to put him on the wall so that he comes back.
Yeah.
Oh boy, did he leave a lasting impression? And I want him back here, so I'll put him on as a maybe, just because I love Marshawn Lynch so damn much.
Maybe.
So damn much. Who pitched that? That was you, McKenna.
I was just wiling out. I was thinking I was just trying to think of decent players that the Bills had. I remember. I think Marshawn Lynch and Terrell Owens were some of the first like jerseys I have ever owned.
Oh, T.O. That's no. He wasn't here. Long
time. Bills' longest play though in their team history. Well, him and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Really?
Yeah.
99-yard touchdown against Jacksonville, I think.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, he's actually I wrote him down. I was why not again?
Yeah,
trying to look.
I watched the TO introductory press conference.
It's North America's team.
I was so young. I was so young when TO came here, so I didn't understand just how big of a deal it was. I guess I knew TO
was
good, but like to see Byron Brown giving him the key to the city. And he essentially says, like, this isn't just a Bills thing. This is a Buffalo thing. T.O. is going to bring more eyes to Buffalo, and he's going to invest in the city. I don't know if he ever did, but...
I don't think so. He had that show.
He had the T.O. show.
He
the
did.
T.O. show.
He had the T.O. show, and he had T.O. cereal.
T.O.'s,
It sucks that he's not even eligible here.
No, he's not.
But we could have a discussion about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's just the best quarterback in what was a line of very bad quarterbacks. Yeah. So
I don't think he has enough of a really like impact on the franchise to.
He'd be a good person to
make
lead
it
the
to
charge,
the Wall
I
of
think.
Fame, though. Yeah,
leading
yeah,
the charge,
he's a lead
yes.
the charge candidate, but he's not a Wall of Fame candidate.
But he earned Fitz magic in Buffalo.
He did.
He did.
He did.
He definitely did.
But I was really swinging for Marshawn Lynch and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who probably is more deserving of being on the Wall of Fame. I'm like, just forget about it.
I don't. He'd be in, but, like, he's just the average charge candidate, nothing really more. But it amazes me that he still plays though at 36. Like he's played
with his wedding ring on his hand,
famously.
Good for Did you guys know that?
I didn't know. we are 48 minutes deep. Let's get some rapid fire here. We'll each just throw a name out there and we'll go quickly, yes or no, quick reason why. That's kind of what we've been doing the whole time. We just have to be faster. Stevie Johnson, yes or no?
No.
Lead the charge.
Okay. I like Stevie. Lead the charge. Lee Evans?
No.
I have him written down, but that's... no, I don't think so. Jairus Byrd?
No.
Okay. No. He... I like
Fletcher.
No.
I want to put either London Fletcher or Takeo Spikes on. I have them both down. Who are we putting?
London Spikes.
London Spikes. We'll put them 1A, 1B just next to each other.
Yes. I have one.
All right, what?
Reuben Brown.
I had Reuben Brown on my list.
I think he makes it.
He was here for a while.
He was.
He was two-time good. All-Pro. And if we're putting Eric Wood
all
on
pro,
the list.
All-Pro, not just Pro Bowl. Two-time All-Pro.
If we're putting Eric Wood on the list, we kind of...
Oh, I didn't agree to that.
Two out of three.
All right, I'll write Reuben Brown next to Eric Wood, and then we will have that discussion again at a later time. And by later time, I mean in roughly 10 minutes.
Doug Flutie.
I have another one. Oh yeah, Doug. Ooh.
I had Doug Flutie on my list. I don't think he was here long enough. Was
I don't think he was.
He might have
been
here for
a decent amount of time.
The minimum, and he was. I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but he was a backup quarterback for Rob Johnson. He did take over, but then he was benched for the playoff
game.
Here
for, wait, no, he was here for 3 seasons, barely.
I think he was here for 3 years.
He was
just
prolific in the CFL, though.
Yeah, if this was the Toronto Argonauts Wall of Fame, yes. But I don't know if Doug Flutie, and he hasn't really been a lasting impression either, I don't think. I guess he has been. You still see Flutie jerseys, but I think it's more the novelty, not because he was an actual very good quarterback. So I like Doug Flutie, but I'm gonna have to say no on that one.
I have one, but I don't know if it meets the length of time requirements. The adult toy thrown on the field.
It's been thrown
three seasons.
A couple seasons, so I think
it's 3 years.
He's on the wall.
I'm putting it on the wall, guys. Bill's sex toy. That's there. Is that what they would call it? Bill's sex toy?
Or
what do you think you would call it? Adult toy?
I don't know
toy?
What they call it.
We'll call it adult toy. I like that phrasing better because kids might be like, Mommy, what's sex? So we'll go with adult toy.
And then they'd be like, I saw a tweet that Kyle Selagi is very good at teaching the birds and the bees. Maybe he can help.
we didn't have the London Fletcher Takeo Spikes conversation. I don't remember either of these players. I just remember they were both good.
London Fletcher was probably the most impactful as a player. I'd say Takeo Spikes was amazing. He was fantastic, and he was such a get because I remember it was like the Bengals had him before, and he was a free agent, and there was a lot of rumor that the Bills could go for him and make them, you know, a highly paid linebacker in the NFL. And he was great, but he wasn't necessarily like a long-term impactful player as London Fletcher, who was such a just long-term player in the league too. He was with the Rams for a while in St. Louis. He was fantastic. He was just great. And then even afterwards too, he went to Washington and still like, you're like, this guy's this old and he's still playing. But I think, just that fact, he was just like an overall really good player throughout the league, known as one of the best linebackers in the league during his time and was a captain on the team. I think he deserves at least a chance at being on the Wall of Fame, maybe a little bit more than Takeo Spikes, who was just a freak, but not so long of a time.
I would put London Fletcher on the Wall of Fame. You convinced me.
He's a Hall of Famer.
I'm writing him
too,
down.
Right?
McKenna, how do you feel about London Fletcher?
I agree. I think I had him written down just because I remember him from NFL Street, honestly, if I'm going to be honest. And I was like, he's really good.
He's quite good.
So yeah, he should be on the Wall.
Have we gone through, like, all the actual candidates, all of the ones who are, you know, you can have a really good debate about?
I think so. We talked about Fred Jackson, Kyle Williams. I feel like those are actually the only ones.
That should probably be on the Wall of Fame.
That should probably be on the Wall of Fame. We have a couple, like, maybe, like, we're talking about John Murphy, maybe, like, years from now.
Yeah.
All right, well, if we've gotten through that, I want to throw some other names at you. Good. You guys tell me yes or no.
Okay.
Marcellus Wiley wasn't that good, but also he's on Fox Sports now, so he kind of reps the mafia. You feel me?
No.
No on Marcellus Wiley. No.
He was fantastic for his time there. He was like one of the best defensive ends or outside linebackers in the league
too young
when he was there.
Don't remember.
But he ended up moving on after, and I don't think he is worthy of it. His stay was not very long. He was during the Wade Phillips era.
Oh, nice. All right. Peerless Price.
No.
No.
I love Peerless Price.
He was great, but he wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't there that long.
He doesn't have any friends. Ha, huh, get it? But Peerless.
Oh.
Peerless.
You might want to edit that
my joke. Laugh at my joke.
Add a laugh track to that one.
Yeah, thank you. Greg Williams. Yeah. Love Greg Williams. Do you guys know he could have gotten like 6 head coaching jobs after the Bills? Not even interview. He just denied them all.
Yeah,
he just didn't want any of them.
Baller. I'd say no.
No.
Absolutely
no.
No
on Greg Williams?
No. I would rather have Mike Mularkey on the Wall of Fame than
Would
Greg
you have
Williams.
Dick Duran on the Wall of Fame?
Dick Duran's a good shout.
Then Greg Williams, maybe.
Dick Duran's not bad.
He was pretty bad. Yeah. But, yeah, 7-9.
Lawyer Malloy.
No.
No.
Because he only spent a couple seasons in Buffalo.
Lawyer Malloy.
New England. It was a big deal. They got New England. They got him. They had Drew Bledsoe. Oh, my God.
And they beat them.
They did, but it was also Sam Adams running down the sideline scoring. So that was nice. So
no Lawyer Malloy?
If you're going to go by that game, you might as well go with Pat Williams or Sam Adams, too.
Well, how about Jason Peters, one of the greatest left tackles to ever do it?
I would say no.
Oh.
I think he was a great player during his time, but he wasn't there very long. He wasn't with Buffalo a very, very long time. He came in as a tight end, which is cool. They turned him into what he is today. But I think, there was a big time of the year. I remember the last few years of his career in Buffalo. He wasn't, like, that amazing. Granted, the team wasn't that amazing, but he spent so much time with Philly at this point, I don't think it would be
he'll probably
right
go on Philadelphia
for him to be on the Bills Wall of Fame. Yeah, he might as well be on Philadelphia's if he continues to play there.
That's the crazy train come to take me away.
Yeah.
Because I said Jason Peters. Yeah, he's not going to be remembered as a Bill.
No.
But, yeah, that's... if you guys couldn't tell, I can't talk. I'm into the joking territory here. I'm into the not realistic candidates.
What about Bills Elvis?
Bills Elvis. All right, again, I say we're joking, but Pancho Bila, should he be on the Hall of Fame or on the Wall of Fame?
I don't know.
Honestly. I think
I don't know. Maybe.
I think if you put and change the 12th man to Bills Mafia, I think that's sort of representing
That would be interesting.
No, that's good.
Yeah,
that's a good shout, McKenna.
Because the Seahawks are the 12th man. Like that's their thing. But
that'd be good.
And the Bills
change.
Are Bills Mafia.
Org.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it Bills Mafia. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
And you know how Bruce Smith's and Jim Kelly's are colored? You could do the same thing with Bills Mafia with the Zumba stripes or something. I don't know.
The Zumba. Yeah.
Zumba stripes, yeah.
Do a
how are you not
PB
in marketing?
what if they did a circle of PB with a sombrero on top?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty
something
cool.
Like that.
Yeah, or just put a sombrero next to Bills Mafia.
Yeah, or on top of it,
Yeah, I like that.
I think it'd be something very. They could do something very nice with that.
They could.
I don't know if the name on the wall would really. It would be more of a collective cool thing.
Yeah.
If they changed that 12th man to something more current.
You guys are good. You guys are good at what you do. Dante Hittner.
Dante Hittner.
None
for me.
About
thanks.
Dante Hittner.
None for me.
Rick Jennerette. The Sabres don't have a Wall of Fame, but Rick Jennerette should have his name somewhere. How do we feel?
He did do the only outdoor hockey game in that stadium besides USA game, but only NHL outdoor game. So that was pretty amazing. I remember I went to that game and looking back into the I was thankful enough to get tickets from a family member in the hundreds level and looking back and seeing Rick Jennerette and I think it was Don Lorenz maybe at that point.
Jim Lorenz.
And doing the play-by-play for the Winter Classic against Pittsburgh. It was pretty surreal. I don't know if he deserves to be on the Wall of Fame.
On the Bills Wall of Fame.
Maybe just play his voice during a touchdown or something. I don't know.
What about
that's
the
good enough.
They'd have to make it the Buffalo Wall of Fame for that
to happen. Yeah, they'd have to. Maybe if he's not already, which I feel like he is, Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame.
He probably is.
He's got if he's not in that, there's some issues.
Here's my last pitch, everybody. Lafayette Pitts.
Lafayette Pitts. I thought you were going to go with Daryl Johnson.
Not yet. Still has some playing to do.
You know, Lafayette Pitts, I'd say that's a no.
That's rude.
That's a no for me. Levi Wallace is my last.
Levi
Wallace. Oh, man. He's still playing. You can't do that.
All right, Tyrod Taylor. As a legitimate
one.
That's a consequential type take. A lot of people. There are, you know, it's surprising how there are so many strong opinions on yay or nay on Tyrod Taylor ending the drought.
And he was such, like, an average, like, he was a good, I think he was a fine quarterback. Like, if
I mean, but if, think about inserting him into this offense as a competent quarterback, though. Like,
the Bills would probably still
win the same amount of games.
Yeah.
I'm so torn. Part of me is like, yes, Tyrod Taylor was a good quarterback, and he did end the drought, or he was the quarterback that ended the drought.
It's a torn type feeling, though, for everyone on it. You know, Tyrod Taylor, it's average, but it's also, he did not throw many interceptions and helped end the drought.
Yeah.
I mean, people argue defense, but the offense stole the score in those games.
And right.
He did a lot of good plays and for a couple of years, but he's not obviously going to be on the Wall of Fame. I don't think he is either.
Yeah.
What about Peterman?
Oh no.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Love the guy. Great guy.
It's on the
great
Wall
drive.
Of Fame in the,
great
in
drive.
The
best
Peterman.
Guy.
Put him on the bathroom.
Hell of a
towel.
Drive. Hell of a drive, Bob Peterman.
Hell of a drive, Peterman.
Hell of a drive.
Hell of a drive. That's that's Kelvin Benjamin catching the ball. Memories.
Memories.
Oh, Kelvin Benjamin, is he on the Wall of Fame?
No.
Is he? Oh, I wish.
Dude, do you think there are any
He's on the Wall of Fame at Popeyes for eating the most biscuits.
Yeah.
Are there any current Bills players you think could make the Wall of Fame? I think Poyer and Micah Hyde could as a tandem.
I think they will. I think they've already done enough. Yeah.
They'd have to be here longer.
Yeah, I think if they both get extensions and finish their career here, I think they will.
I don't know. If
their contracts are coming up, aren't they?
I think Poyer has another year and Hyde has two more. Because I believe Hyde signed a 5-year, Poyer signed a 4-year. I think it's like 4 years, $35 million, too. Something ridiculously low.
They need new deals. Get it done, Brandon. Yeah. But okay, continue.
Yeah. I don't know if they make the Wall of Fame, though. I mean, you got to be such a standout player for such a significant amount of time and do something incredible. If he were, you know, hypothetically, the Bills make it the Super Bowl and he has like a game, one of them has a game ceiling interception, and like, you know, I think maybe they would make the Wall of Fame at that point. But they need to do something really impactful and be here for more than just a couple seasons to make that and to get that honor. Okay. It'd be tough. They're no doubt fantastic. Some of the best, probably the best safeties Buffalo's had in a very long time. And if they continue to play at this level and the Bills make it somewhere and win something, I think there's a greater chance for sure of that happening.
I think if Tremaine Edmonds, if he sticks around, I think he's going to be at some point in his career, he will be the best linebacker in the NFL. And if he's in Buffalo when that happens, then he'll be on the Wall of Fame. Again, Josh Allen, if Josh Allen pans out, he'll be on the Wall of Fame, because if you're a good quarterback, you're going to be on the Wall of Fame. Shady?
No, that's a tough one.
That's a no.
That's an yeah, I guess so.
He's nothing against him. He's an amazing player, but his time in Buffalo wasn't very long. He didn't start in Buffalo.
You could do something
ended
about
up being
like
traded the... or well released. So I just don't think that he's deserved it. He was an amazing running back during the time here. You know, when those fantastic years with Greg Roman as offensive coordinator, the running attack during those years was just incredible and the best in the NFL at those points with him and Carlos Williams a year or so and Mike Gillisley. Like, those were amazing rushing attacks, but they don't warrant a place on the Wall of Fame. You know, he didn't break. He had, you know, 10K when he was here. That was a huge accomplishment.
I was at that game.
Wow. Yeah. I just don't. If he had stayed longer and if he had reached like 15K while on the Bills, maybe.
Do you put the 2017 team like as a whole on the Wall of Fame?
I think it would be honestly a little embarrassing if the Bills had 2017. Like, that's like a consolation prize banner. Like,
yeah, that wasn't a good team.
It's like the Sabres hanging a banner in the rafters last year for like a good November.
Yeah.
Like, or was it October? November? One of those months.
Yeah, it's November.
Like a really good November, 2017 or 2018. Yeah, it's the equivalent of that, in my opinion.
We are a minute. No, we're more than a minute deep. We're an hour and 5 minutes deep. So let's go over these prospective Wall of Fame candidates one more time, and we'll give the final say on whether or not they'll be on the Hall of Fame or the Wall of Fame one day. Aaron Schobel, yes or no? Yes.
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 Aaron Schobel confirmed. Fred Jackson confirmed.
Yeah.
Rich.
Yeah. I guess. I just have I'm not saying I have a higher standard of Wall of Fame, but I have different requirements. But sure, Fred Jackson was very impactful.
Kyle Williams.
Yes.
All right, that's three right there. I'm getting lost in my own handwriting here. Eric Molds.
He was here for 9 years and was a very good player, so I'll say yes.
I'm leaning more towards no now, just because he didn't really, he didn't, set any records or...
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, he might have, a record for, receiving yards in a season, potentially, for Bills player or receptions, but...
By that
logic...
He was
a very crazy player, but I don't think he had as well-rounded of a career to make it onto Wall of Fame.
Well, Eric Moltz had a better career than Fred Jackson. He just wasn't as beloved by the fans. So if we're going by that logic, Fred Jackson doesn't deserve a spot on the Wall of Fame.
I think how the fans view a player is sort of like how they can get onto the Wall of Fame.
Yeah, you want them to be stoked a player's getting onto the Wall of Fame, not just like, eh.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Who?
All right, so no Eric Moltz. Wow. I'm kind of in shock right now. Brian Moorman.
Yes.
I'd say yeah. Just because special teams. Special teams.
The best
impact.
Yeah. What is this?
He was the best punter for a very long time on the Bills. Yeah. The best
longest
to do in
his
position
history.
On the team is, I think you warrant a spot on the Wall of Fame. Name another punter that's been better than him on the Bills. You can't.
I can name another player, Eric Molds.
But there have been better wide receivers.
Yeah, but you already have Beebe and Steve Tasker and Andre
and
Reed.
All the better receivers are on the Wall of Fame.
If he had one single quarterback through his time during those years, Eric Molds, if he did, and they had one more games, I'd say yeah.
But you guys are killing me. Eric Wood.
No. Not yet.
Reuben Brown.
No.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Rich.
Rich, you're killing me.
Rich, your logic.
Reuben Brown, man. He's okay, fine, no. You can say no for that one.
No Eric Molds. No Fred Jackson.
I'm just going on what I mean,
yes,
you
Reuben
guys
Brown.
Didn't watch these teams as much as I did.
You're right, I didn't.
Yeah.
Reuben Brown was a very good offensive lineman for a very long time. I can say no for that. That's fine.
London Fletcher.
Yes.
I just need.
Yes.
I'll put London Fletcher. I like London Fletcher.
He
I think
might
he was
just
good.
Be on the Redskins Wall of Fame, though.
Bill's adult toy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. And here's, again, we punted this debate a little further. Marshawn Lynch.
Yes. No. I'm wholehearted for Marshawn Lynch being.
I'm wholehearted for Marshawn Lynch. Yes.
He's cool. I'm gonna say no, but they should do something with him.
Realistically, he doesn't deserve to be on the Wall.
No,
of Fame.
But they should really find a way to
bring
incorporate
them
and remind
bring
people
him
that he did play for the Bills at one time.
All right, I'm just because I'm writing it down. I'm the one with the paper. Marshawn Lynch is making it. So we have. We've decided.
Is there enough room?
Yes. Six people will be added to our Wall of Fame to bring the total to 36 people. That's Aaron Schobel, Fred Jackson, Kyle Williams, Brian Moorman, London Fletcher, and Marshawn Lynch. No CJ Spiller. We didn't even have that discussion. Wow.
We didn't need to.
Yeah.
We didn't have to have the CJ discussion.
Yeah,
and
good kick return.
Look, I think Doug Whaley has a real good shot, but also we didn't discuss Doug Whaley. So Brandon Bean honestly probably will just because he
if things keep trending in the way they're trending, both McDermott and Bean could get on there.
Yeah, absolutely. A bunch of people currently with this team. If they eventually do get over the hump and become perennial contenders, bring this team back to relevance for the first time since the early 90s. I mean, look at the early 90s teams.
Yeah.
All of the key players from those teams are on the Wall of Fame.
And Bill
Pullian
made that, too. Yeah,
exactly.
Marvelly, so there's a lot.
You'll see Bean, McDermott, Allen.
Beastly.
Edmonds. Who else? Like Hyde, Poyer, Tre'Davious White,
yeah. Levi Wallace.
You'll see Levi Wallace, Daryl Johnson. You'll see all of those guys.
I just think at the end of the day, though, it takes such a long time, though, to get those people onto the Wall of Fame. Like,
I'll be dead.
Cookie Gilchrist was the last inductee in 2017, and he played for the Bills in the 60s.
In the AFL, yeah.
So
O.J. Simpson was the first inductee, though.
He was.
Well, that's problematic.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. That's a different discussion.
His tweets are something too.
I watch them. They're interesting.
He's interesting. He gives good takeaways for the fantasy football.
Are you guys trying to get me canceled?
We're trying to get you canceled, not us.
You're trying to get my
lost
show
your hypothetical Hofbräu House sponsor.
And again, we said last week to tweet potential Wall of Fame additions to us, and a lot of people said Kyle.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, guys. But I don't know if I've done enough to get on the Wall of Fame.
I saw that.
I mean, I interned for the Bills. I had a good time there. They were like really nice when I left. Like, they put up billboards around the town saying thank you Kyle. The final game fans were chanting thank you Kyle, and I was like, I was just an intern, but I really appreciate it.
They had you narrate the Bills Embedded.
Yeah. No, it was funny because my final or not my final, but like one of my tasks on the Bills, you know, final game of the 2018 season was to write the feature for Kyle Williams' last game, just kind of running everything down. So that in itself was really cool, just to, you know, look back and say I did that. But also, my boss, or Chris Brown, and my other boss, Chris Jenkins, he was like, all right, Kyle, you're going to write about your namesake here. You're going to write the Kyle Williams final games feature. And I was like, actually, my middle name is William. And he had Chris Pro just like, what? Like, why is your name Kyle William?
That's funny.
So yeah, people were like, Kyle Williams, thanks so much. And I was like, yeah, well, you put an extra S on William, but you know, it's appreciated. Thank you. Yeah, I don't think I deserve to be on the Wall of Fame, but I'm very humbled.
Maybe one day.
Got potential. So
you put it in your bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll just write my name, Kyle. But does that do it? Have we discussed enough here?
I think we have. I think we've reached the limit.
All right. Fair warning here to my Kyle Slagy Variety Hour listeners, all three of you. There may not be a podcast next week. I'm going to be out of town for the Bills Dolphins great game. I have a wedding to attend.
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be a banging time. Love my extended family like everyone else in the world does.
Some shout songs for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's these weddings are always a good time in Pennsylvania. Mm. I don't know if Pennsylvania had an accent, but there's a heavy Pennsylvania accent.
Do. Yeah,
heavy Pennsylvania
depends
accent.
On the part.
Just listen to Mike Mayock talk, and that's
true.
A Pennsylvania accent. So yeah, I'm not gonna watch the banger that is gonna be Bills Dolphins, at least not on Sunday. And if the Bills lose that game, even if I do watch it and the Bills lose, we're not gonna do a podcast anyway, just because I'll be sick. I won't want to talk about it. But so yeah, I think that wraps it up here today. Mm-hmm. Rich, where can people follow you on the internet if they want to talk to you about something?
They can follow me on Twitter at @byrichkowalski.
Can they email you?
They may, but I won't disclose that.
No, I figured out today, I don't know why, but it's creeping me out. When you look on BillsWire on the mobile app, mm-hmm. or the mobile, not the app, but the, just mobile
the website,
layout.
Yeah.
If you click on one of my articles, next to my name, it says email. And you click on it, and you can actually send me an email. I don't know why. I don't know why, but my email address is just there. It's a very simple email address. You could probably figure it out quite easily if you wanted to.
Slaggy.
You could just guess it. Yeah. But yeah, that my email address is just out there for
you
the taking if anyone wants it.
Talk to Nick about that.
Yeah, just say,
put
yo,
his email
what?
Instead.
Yeah, I looked at Nick's. So you can't email Nick, but you can email me. So
classic.
And somebody did a few weeks ago. I just got a random email.
That.
Yeah, that they were just like, hey, I don't think the Bills offense was lifeless in the first half. And I was like,
wondering.
Why did you feel the need to email me?
Got a new pen pal.
Yeah. Why were you so passionate about that takeaway that you were like, I have to email this guy. I have to let him know I don't agree with this.
This guy needs to know.
Yeah. But so yeah, there's that. McKenna, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at McKenna Middle and on Instagram at McKenna _ Matthew.
Ooh, Insta plugs.
Went to Watkins Glen on Sunday, so got those highlights for you on there.
Ooh. I posted NASCAR? A picture of my cat.
Hiking.
Oh, well, that's not fun.
That's pretty cool, though.
You're not a NASCAR fan?
No.
Why not? Why don't you like NASCAR?
I think I'll offend some of our listeners if I say why I'm not a NASCAR fan.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's the biggest demo for the Kyle's Leg Variety Hour is NASCAR fans. We do a lot of NASCAR analysis. This is the longest episode ever. You can follow Bills Wire on Twitter at The Bills Wire, on Instagram at The Bills Wire, on Facebook at Bills Wire. Make sure to read the articles on BillsWire.usatoday.com. Make sure to listen to the Bills Wire podcast hosted by Matt and Jeremy. They just uploaded an episode where they looked at the rest of the Bills schedule and determined whether or not those will be wins or losses. And, you know, I think that's a really original segment. I don't think we just did exactly that last week. And I think they listen to every single episode of this podcast, so that's nice to know. So I think that's our biggest takeaways. That's our biggest takeaways from this podcast, is that nobody listens who works for Bills Wire. So we just looked at the Bills Wall of Fame editions. We came up with 6. And also, visit Wingnuts. Tell Ed I said hi. Thanks for listening. Talk to you maybe not next week. You'll know next week if I'm talking to you next week. Okay, bad exit. Bye.